I know more about sports than you, good sir.
Tis to laugh. Dare I say my grandmother could outsport you any day of the week.
Gentlemen, may I borrow your ear for a moment?
But of course!
BetDSI.net is an awesome site where you can play for free and win real cash. Are you a sports nut with a lot of confidence?
Thoroughly.
Maybe you're a casual fan with a flair for the stats.
Guilty!
Put your knowledge to the test and win real cash at BetDSI.net. It's fun, it's entertaining, and it's just another way to enjoy the sport you already love. It's BetDSI.net.
Huzzah!
Winnipeg Free Press, Calgary Herald, Montreal Gazette, Globe and Mail. Jeff Blair has written for all four. And if you can survive the world of newspapers, you can survive anything. This is the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Damn, you blindsided me. I didn't realize we had an hour left, do we? I'm just kidding. So, I found a thing. Derek Brandeo, our technical director, has found a thing for me. Kabaddi. I didn't know. Why did no one tell me that this existed before? There's a professional Kabaddi league. Any of you out there know of a fantasy league for this thing? I'm in. I don't get the game. It's like, well, I mean, I don't understand cricket, but I'll watch. I don't really get, as far as I can tell, it's like tag. It involves an inordinate amount of running around and holding hands. Once you tag someone, you have to make it back to the half. God. Anyhow, Kabaddi, check it out. And like I said, there's a pro league. And if any of you've got a fantasy league, I'm down with this. What was the name of the guy we were looking at? The escape artist, Ajay Shakur. Anyhow, I wonder if you can get. We're going to bring in Jory Mittelstadt, who is co-host of The Bottom Line, presented by BetDSI, Sundays from 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Ajay Thakur is his name. BetDSI sponsors The Bottom Line Sundays from 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We'll talk about the Super Bowl in a minute, but have you ever taken bets on Kabaddi?
Not that I know of, but you could pretty much bet on anything, so nothing would surprise.
Well, hell, if you can bet in the Canadian Soccer League, you got to be able to bet in this. So
yeah.
I got to think this thing is way more legitimate than that.
I haven't heard of it. There's that other new sport that Mark Cuban has taken a position in. Did you see that?
Football? No. What's that?
Futsal?
Oh, futsal. Yeah. Well, I know what it is. Yeah, that's it's big in Brazil. It's F-U-T-S-A-L. It's big in Brazil. It's I don't know. This Kabaddi's interesting.
I'm not as familiar.
There's a lot of hand holding and tagging, but it is interesting. Anyhow, we'll deal with that. I'm sure you may talk about it because once the Super Bowl's over, I mean, you've got nothing else to talk about.
Well, we're going to go on vacation, so...
Oh, okay. You're going to take all your winnings and bugger off. I like that.
That's the idea.
Oh, it's smart. I mean, you know, why not? Why not?
Let's hope there's lots of winnings to take.
Well, there will be. But I mean, you guys do pretty well. I'm going to ask you this. I mean, as a pro, how do you view people who prop bet? Do you view them as kind of, you know, the effete dilettantes who are too scared to get involved in serious betting, so they're interested on, you know, they're interested in betting in coin tosses or, you know, which will be higher Sunday, total goals in the Habs Hurricanes game or total receptions by Greg Olsen. How do the big guys view people that play that stuff?
Well, you don't get anywhere near the kind of prop bet opportunities that you do on the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl is a betting festival unto itself because of the vast array of prop bets available. You can bet props throughout, you know, the course of NFL season and other sports, but the menu is very, very small. And so in answering your question, the way you have to look at it is this. When the menu is small on prop bets, usually they have time to look at it, examine it, and put out strong lines.
Mm-hmm.
The value and where some expertise with some time spent comes on the Super Bowl props. And I happened to catch Randall the Handle with the Morning Guys today, and he was talking about this as well, and we talk about it on our show, is a lot of pretty much the vast majority of the prop bets that are put up at the various books go up almost Sunday night after the conference game, the conference final games are completed. So there's a rush to get them out, and they want to have, you know, a ton of variety and all kinds of options. You mentioned like the cross sport ones. And so given the short time frame to put them together, they're going to make mistakes. So the sharp better, as we call it, the professional, mm-hmm. but take it a step further, even the amateur who's willing to spend the time, you can find value on Super Bowl props. So we wouldn't look down on them at all. In fact, we talk about this every year, and we'll talk about it on Sunday. Spend the time, go through and shop around, because they'll have different prices on the same prop at different books. But there are all kinds of opportunities, and so I think a lot of the sharp guys spend a lot of time doing it. So I would know we would praise them, especially if the research proves to be fruitful and you're picking the right side on a number of props.
Typically, is more money bet on props related to the game? And what I'm talking about are things like how many yards rushing will Cam Newton get? Is more money spent on that than? I don't want to use the word sillier ones, but, you know, for example, will Peyton Manning be shown crying at any point during the broadcast? Is more money bet on the actual statistical odds compared to some of the sillier stuff?
Yes, and one of the main reasons is the limits. They put pretty low limits on a lot of what we'll call exotic or silly prop bets mm-hmm. because they're there for the casual person, the guy, you know, the people who are hosting their Super Bowl parties and they want to do little prop games and stuff like that. So the limits are low. Where on the actual game props, like you talked about, player props, things that happen in the game and just within the game, not compared to other sporting events going on at the same day, and there's a million of those cross-sport props, and you alluded to one of them. So, yeah, there'll be more money spent on those because the limits are also higher, and the true football fan, that's really what they're looking for. The other stuff's really fluff, and there's not a lot of value in those anyway.
Right. All right, let's talk about the game itself. Carolina, 5.5-point favorites. The line moved, 1.5, according to BetDSI. It seems to be a fair line, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, it opened some 3.5s, mostly 4s, and some 4.5s, and all the money initially came in on Carolina.
Sure.
It was just a flood. Over 80% of the action, probably up until a day or two ago, was on Carolina. I still believe that 5.5, which is kind of a dummy number, we always talk about that as a dead number, a dummy number. It's not a real spread because you're not dealing with any key numbers, 3s, 4s, 6s, 7s. Those are the key numbers in football for obvious reasons because of the way the game is scored with field goals and touchdowns, mostly 3s and 7s, although we did see a few more missed extra points this year, and as a result, few more two-point attempts.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think it's a fair line. I don't think there's any doubt that Carolina is the better team. And it's come back. It's gone as high as 6. And now it's kind of been bought back down. We're seeing some Denver money. Some of the professionals have got involved and thought 6 was a good number. So they took that. And we're seeing mostly 5.5s right now with a little pressure. Maybe that it'll, my guess is it'll probably end at 6 is mm-hmm. my guess.
Now, we talked a lot. Everybody has talked a lot this week about Cam Newton against Peyton Manning.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at this game, everybody talks about how a lot of time games are won in the line and the lines and things like that. It seems to me, do the Panthers get enough credit for their defense, and especially their defensive line?
It's funny you say that. Not that I want to give too much away, but I think Carolina's been underappreciated, undervalued all year.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. All the talk, as it always will be, is going to be about the quarterbacks and offense because that's what's sexy and that's what the, you know, the vast majority, and particularly the casual fan, is going to tune into the Super Bowl. Those are the names they know. And I agree. We keep hearing about the Bronco defense, and it's the number one ranked defense, shut down two really good offenses, held them both under 20 points in the two postseason wins they had. But yeah, people are forgetting that Carolina was the fifth ranked defense,
mm-hmm.
and some of the numbers are skewed because they had a lot of big leads, and you know we've talked about them having trouble hanging on to some of those leads. It's not easy to play with big leads. You don't have the same edge. You're playing a little more prevent. So I think the numbers actually could be better. And the key number for them is they're by far the most opportunistic defense in the league. They led the league by a long shot in takeaways with 39, had the best turnover differential at plus 20. You know, Denver on the flip side was the only team in the playoffs with a negative turnover differential of minus 4. And a lot of that came because of all the interceptions that Peyton Manning was throwing in the first half of this season. So, yeah, I think Carolina's defense is not getting near enough credit. They have arguably the best defensive player in the league, certainly in the top three, and Luke Kuechly. Thomas Davis, who you'll be hearing a lot about, playing with a broken forearm, is an elite linebacker. Josh Norman, many will say, has been the best corner in the league this year. They have studs on the defensive line in Dewan Short and Star Lotelu. I always screw that up, but Star, just call him Star. And he is a star. So, yeah, they're very talented on both sides of the ball, and they're the better team. And that's why, circling back, I think it's a fair line.
One of the guys who intrigues me in this game is Jonathan Stewart. I mean, a guy who is well regarded, but again, I mean, I'm looking at, you know, some of the prop bets and who the Super Bowl MVP will be. They've got, I mean, he's like 10th, 11th around. I would have him a little more than that.
Yeah, the problem is, as we all know, is it's a quarterback-driven league.
Yeah.
If memory serves, the last running back to win the MVP, you got to go back to like 98. Terrell Davis.
Okay, yeah.
That's a long time. So the chances are that it's going to be the quarterbacks. Maybe not so much, even though Peyton would be the favorite for Denver. I don't think there's many people that expect that he'll be the difference in the game mm-hmm. in a Denver victory. So you may, if you're looking at that prop, you may want to look at some other options for Denver. I mean, if it was last, or 2 weeks ago, the AFC Championship game was the Super Bowl, just hypothetically, Von Miller probably would have been your MVP.
Right.
It wouldn't have been Peyton by a long shot. I don't think there would have been anybody else, actually, that you would really consider on the Denver side. So, I think there's a little bit of value in Jonathan Stewart. The run game is hugely important to Carolina, and it will be a big factor in this game. And he is an elite running back. He's just had trouble staying healthy, and that happened again this year where he missed pretty much the last four games, but he's back and he ran very well in both playoff games, and it's a massive part of their offense. So if Carolina wins, you got to think Cam's going to be the MVP, but we're always looking for value, and so yeah, you might want to look at a Jonathan Stewart as one option there.
In conversation with Jory Mittelstadt, how concerned would you be about the field? Because one of the issues with Levi Stadium, since it's been constructed, has been the turf. I mean, there were a lot of stories last year in the San Francisco papers about how essentially they had to rip up the field four or five times, and they just haven't been able to get it right. Now, they're saying it should hold up well now. But has that emerged at all? It was a bit of a talking point. It was a bit of a talking point earlier this week, and some people like Charles Davis of NFL.com, you know, have said that the league has really focused on that this year. It's reinstalled it. It's resodded it. It's done everything, to get it ready for this game. But have you heard that at all emerge as a concern?
Yeah, a little bit of that. More going in. You pretty much, you summed it up quite well. It was a concern. The one thing I heard this week, though, is the weather's been awesome in San Francisco. Very little rain. And so the field, from all accounts, is going to be in as good a shape as it can be, because you're right, they've had issues there. I think we'll hear more about that after the walkthroughs on Saturday,
right?
When the teams actually go on the field. They don't practice, but you know, they sort of check it out and figure out which cleats to wear. But I don't think it's going to be a big story. Happy it's on grass. Always like the game played on a natural surface. I don't think there's an advantage to either team. Both defenses are really fast and cover sideline to sideline. And from what I've heard, I think the footing is going to be pretty good and what you would expect on a grass field.
All right, I'll ask. Well, I don't know if you can give this away, but Carolina 5.5. Do you who do you like in this game?
I can give it away to a certain extent.
Okay.
I try not to make decisions on the big games until
right.
I get closer to Sunday. But and it's in print. My cohort Randall the Handle's on the dog. He's taking the Broncos. And to make it a better show on Sunday, I'm going to be taking the Carolina Panthers. He'll tell me I'm making the square play, taking the favorite. And the favorites have not fared well of late in the Super Bowl. And, I mean, there's a million trends that go both ways. But I think that Carolina is the better team overall. I don't think there's any question about it. I think a lot has to go right. A lot has to go right for the Broncos to win this game because their offense is not nearly as prolific as it has been with Peyton there in Denver. I think that we all know that the limitations that Peyton has right now in his game. And so the formula for Denver to win is going to be very similar to what we saw in the two playoff games and pretty much all year long. I believe the number, this is pretty crazy, Jeff, that the Broncos, 12 of their 14 wins have been by one score or less. They play close games. That's the formula,
right?
Run the ball, play great defense, and make enough plays when we need to in the passing game. And so far, the formula has worked a lot. I just think that Carolina offers so many different challenges than in just looking at the New England game. You know, the one thing that the Broncos defense could do against New England was they could unleash the pass rush. Even though they didn't blitz a lot, they have elite outside rushers in DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller. We saw that. But they could do that because they know where Brady is. Yes, he's great at moving around in the pocket, but he's really no threat to run other than the one scramble he had. But that's not part of the game. And New England had no running game, and it wasn't a threat. So they didn't really have to consider it. Cam Newton and this Panther offense poses a myriad of problems for this Denver defense. I don't think they're going to blow them out. If there is a blowout, it'll be on the Carolina side, because I do think that this Denver defense is really good. But I think if these two teams played, you know, 10 times, I think Carolina would win 8. I really do. And so, yeah, there's a point spread for a reason. And it wouldn't surprise me if it was a close game, but to me, Denver's got to win the turnover battle. That's 100% given for them to win. And they've got to keep Carolina under, you know, 21 points, maybe 24 at the absolute max. And I think that's going to be a huge challenge. And the other thing is, Cam Newton's shown no nerves in the postseason, none of that. They're going to have to get an off day from him so they can create and get turnovers, and they're going to have to run the ball well, which they have done on and off, not consistently. And so I think, like I said, a lot of things have to go right for them. I don't think that's the same for Carolina. I think if they play the game they've played pretty much all year, they're the better team, and they should come out on top. I mean, they've only got one loss this year.
Yeah, and it's remarkable. You know, one of the things that, and I think Cam Newton talked about this a little bit this week. You know, he don't want to look back at it and everything, but you do wonder if they'd won that game and if they win the Super Bowl. I mean, you know,
I think
a great season is historically great.
Yeah, and look, there's only I think two other teams that have that have gone through with one loss.
Right.
One of the Montana 49er teams and the 85 Bears. And those are historically great teams. And
yes,
that's one of the things, you know, that we talked about earlier, that I just think Carolina hasn't got nearly enough credit for what they've accomplished. And I actually think two things really helped them. I think the loss to Atlanta got them refocused. I really believe that it's a long season. I was being asked, you know, when they're 8-0, 9-0, 10-0, you know, are they going to lose a game? And I always felt they would. It's just so difficult to go through an entire 16-game season and win them all. It's just the reality of the situation. And so I think that loss really helped them. And I think the comeback by Seattle in the divisional game woke them up, and they were entirely different when they came out for the second half with the big lead in the NFC Championship game against Arizona. And they looked different. They played differently than they did in the second half against Seattle. And so I think they've done a good job of learning lessons this year. And I think with the extra week to prepare, it's a tall order for the Broncos to win this game. Would it be a complete shocker? Absolutely not. This is football, right? Turnovers and all the little things that happen in a game can change it. But again, I just think that Carolina's got too much going on, and Cam hasn't played poorly in a long time. It can happen. It's the big stage. This is the biggest stage. But I believe they'll be ready. They truly will be ready for it. And they should go down as one of the elite teams if they can win the game and end the season with just the one loss.
Good stuff as always, Jory. Appreciate you doing this.
Thanks, Jeff. Enjoyed it as always. Enjoy the game. I know you're not a big football guy.
I'll be watching part of it.
But make sure you get a few prop bets down. It makes the Super Bowl so enjoyable. And just a final thought on that. Do a little homework, folks. And what you do is you play your game props, not the silly ones, based on how you think the game will turn out. And if you approach it that way, hopefully it goes that way, and you can cash a lot of tickets.
Thanks, Jory.
Thanks, Jeff.
Take care. It's Jory Mittelstadt. He is co-host of The Bottom Line, presented by BetDSI, Sundays from 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Follow Jory on Twitter at Jory Middle. And again, this Sunday, they will get you set for the Super Bowl. So Jory taking the favorite, Randall the handle taking the dog. I like that square bet. Go with the favorite. Five and a half. It seems to me at that measure, I'd be going with Carolina too. I just think Carolina is a better team. And I love the way what Jory said. I think Carolina just has to play the way Carolina's played all year to win. Denver needs a bunch to go right for them. Needs a bunch of things to go right for them. We're going to be joined by Clint Irwin, Toronto FC, in a few minutes. I want to give you a rundown, though, the busy weekend on Sportsnet, which tomorrow is 16th annual. It's been around for a long time. Scotiabank Hockey Day in Canada. It'll be hosted by Ron McLean from Kamloops, BC. Special guests will include Wendell Clark, Don Cherry, Corey Hirsch, Corey Cross, Lanny McDonald, Trevor Linden, Mark Napier, Wade Redden, Kirk McLean, and Darcy Tucker. Coverage will begin at noon from Kamloops. 2 p.m., the Oilers and the Canadiens. And I love the tweet that Stuart Cowan, sports editor and columnist at the Montreal Gazette, just sent out. I had a laugh about this. Stu's tweet was, Oilers, young team, Friday night off in Montreal, hashtag just saying. So there you go. If you're a betting person, you got all those raging hormones on the Oilers. A Friday night in Montreal. And a Saturday afternoon game, you may want to take that into consideration. Montreal has a way of sucking the life out of you if you're a young athlete. That game is at 2 p.m. on CBC and Sportsnet. 5 p.m., we'll go back to Kamloops to continue our Hockey Day in Canada coverage. Hockey Central Saturday at 6:30. Strombo, Friedman, Rudy, and Kyprios. Leafs and Senators at 7 p.m. on CBC and Sportsnet. That game, by the way, is also available in 4K on channel 999 if you have a 4K TV and a Rogers Nextbox 4K. On City TV at 7 o'clock, the Penguins and the Florida Panthers, a best story in the NHL, one of the best stories in the NHL, and the resurgent Penguins, the resurgent Sidney Crosby. That's at 7 o'clock. Flames and Knuckleheads at 10 p.m. on CBC. Jetties and Avalanche at 10 p.m. on Sportsnet. And then a Hockey Central post game at 1 a.m. on CBC. The Leafs and Senators will also have that game. We'll have Hockey Nation with Stelic and Hlushko on Sportsnet 590 The Fan at 5 p.m. on Saturday. And they will have their Leafs Nation post game as per usual, right after the vinyl horn on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. There'll be NHL hockey on Sportsnet tonight, the Coyotes and Ducks at 10 p.m. on Sportsnet 1 Sunday. Flyers and Capitals at 12 p.m. on Sportsnet 360. And the Hurricanes and the Canadiens at 2:30 p.m. on Sportsnet Ontario. And as usual, the a whole raft of soccer. Spurs and Watford at 9:30 a.m. tomorrow. Swansea, Crystal Palace at 9:30 a.m. Stoke and Everton, 9:30 a.m. tomorrow. Bournemouth and Arsenal and Chelsea and Man United. The big one, I guess. The big one, Chelsea, Manchester United, 10:30 a.m. Sunday on Sportsnet Ontario. I'm sure Manchester United will crap the bed in that particular match. Speaking of footy, Clint Irwin is Toronto FC's goalkeeper. Toronto FC addressing a glaring need, I think it's safe to say, by bringing in Clint Irwin. Interesting story with Clint Irwin. He's a high school teammate of Steph Curry. Let's find out how often he saw the ball, shall we? Clint Irwin of Toronto FC will join us when the Jeff Blair Show continues on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Jeff Blair loves to commute. Let him join you on yours. Subscribe to podcasts of the Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Tab on Wednesday night, so we can make plans for Thursday night. He said,
we could go hit the P-Hubs.
I was like, yeah, that's my favorite spot. Plus, I like it there because I got love on the list. High power juice.
All right, welcome back to the Jeff Blair Show, just ahead of Hockey Central. I'm still humming the 1-877 Cars for Kids theme like I did yesterday. I don't know why that is. Got it in my head. The Super Bowl is this weekend. It kind of snuck up on us, didn't it? The Super Bowl is this weekend. Of course, it'll be Carolina and the Denver Broncos. We already heard from Jory Mittelstadt of the bottom line. He's going with Carolina. He's going with the favorite. I got a sense. Something tells me our next guest probably going with the Carolina Panthers as well. Clint Irwin. Toronto FC goalkeeper joins us on the Jeff Blair Show from Los Angeles, from California, where the TFC are going through the preseason preps. Clint, thanks so much for doing this.
Thanks for having me on.
You're going for the Panthers, aren't you?
Of course. Of course I am.
Any doubt in your mind as a North Carolinian that they're going to win?
I've got no doubt in my mind. I think, you know, I lived in Denver for a little bit, but I've been a season ticket holder with the Panthers ever since the start. So I'm going Panthers 30-21.
There you go. I like that. And the man's willing to give the score. That's outstanding. Thanks so much for doing this, by the way. I know it's a hectic time for you guys. I just wanted to get your sense on, you know, you've been with the team for a while now. You guys are going through your preparations for the season. What's it been like so far? Because, you know, Clint, those of us who've watched this team, we've always talked about the defensive issues with this team. You know, you're coming in a lot of people's mind, you're going to be a large part of the answer for this. How have things gone so far? And you know, where do you think the team is right now in terms of its preparation?
Well, I think we're about halfway through preseason at this point, and, you know, we've really been focusing on those defensive improvements, like you said. I think it's been a main focus of preseason. We've played a few games here and there now, and the fitness is starting to come, and the cohesion is as well. As you know, we've got a few new faces on the back line, and just trying to get that development and learn each other's tendencies in this preseason. And so far, I think it's been going pretty well.
Hey Clint, when you're doing that, when you've got a new back line, when you've got a lot of new players, obviously communication is going to be important. The goalkeeper, I would think it starts with the goalkeeper. How do you go about developing that, you know, sort of that second sense or fifth sense or whatever the hell it is? I forget how many senses we have. But the guys need to be successful. Does that come during the games? Can you do it during practice? Or, you know, do you have to wait until the season actually starts and the pressure's really intense?
I think it's all of the above. You know, you're trying to get as many repetitions in preseason as possible on the field in practice. And then, like you said, once the bullets start flying kind of in the season when the games are tense and tight, that's when you're really going to figure out what guys' tendencies are and where they stand. And I think also off the field, just trying to get to know people, you know, their family situation, where they're from, how they grew up. I think that's all important too, and just trying to find that chemistry.
What did you think, or what did you see of Toronto FC as an opponent? What went through your mind when you were playing for Colorado, and you knew you were coming up, you were facing Toronto FC? What was your view of the team from the opposing keeper's position?
Well, we knew, I mean, they had some very good attacking players. Obviously, Seba, Giovinco, Michael Bradley, Josie Altidore, those are big names in the league, and we knew they were definitely capable of scoring goals. And at the time last year, we also knew that, you know, they're going to score some goals, but they might give us a few on the other side, and we knew that we'd kind of be in the game. But definitely a very dangerous attacking team. And then, you know, I think everyone has said, and it's been well documented on the defensive side of things, they maybe weren't as strong last year.
In conversation with Clint Irwin of Toronto FC, your story is intriguing. You were at Elon University. You weren't drafted. You knocked around, tried out for New England, several other teams. You actually, I guess it was Capital City FC Ottawa in the CSL in 2011 that kind of gave you your break, if you want to call it that, didn't they?
Yeah, it was really my first opportunity to play out post-college, you know, professional, semi-professional, whatever you want to call it. It was really important just to get games and get that experience that everyone who kind of turned me down or passed me over said that I needed. So I was thankful for that opportunity. I played in probably 32 games up there. And ultimately from there, you know, went on some other trials with other teams and kind of went through the same cycle and ended up in Charlotte and then in Colorado. So it was definitely a great bridge for my career. I think without them, I wouldn't have had anywhere to play, and I would be working at a desk job somewhere.
Are you still writing?
I do occasionally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. You'd written, I believe, for the Daily Telegraph, Sports Illustrated, I think. You wrote for Sports Illustrated as well. How games should be refereed.
Yeah, that was Sports Illustrated, a couple for Daily Telegraph, and then just kind of here and there when I'm feeling the inspiration or I have something to say. I don't know if it's a regular thing yet, but it's definitely a good outlet for me.
You know, it's funny when I was covering the Olympics in Beijing, and I covered the gold medal soccer game, and Argentina beat Nigeria. Long story, but you'll see where I'm going with it. Argentina beat Nigeria. And after the game, I was down in the mix zone, and the Nigerian team came out, and there were players, Victor Anachibi and guys like this. And in one case, I cannot remember the name of the player, but the player was interviewed. He answered questions in English. He answered questions in, you know, whatever the dialect was in Nigerian, and then he played in Israel, and he answered a couple of questions in Hebrew. And I remember looking at this, and I'm thinking, I mean, this is truly an international sport, and, you know, that's no surprise. It is. It's a big international sport. But I started thinking that you have to, if you're not a star, you have to have a certain type of personality to hang in there, to get your break in soccer, don't you? You've almost got to have an adventurous spirit, or at least you've got to have a certain type of sensibility and sensitivity to other people and embrace differences in order to be successful, don't you?
Definitely do, especially in the locker room. I remember growing up in North Carolina, you're playing with predominantly Hispanic players. We're kind of the next, besides American, it was mostly Hispanic players. And so at a young age, you get that introduction to new cultures. And then as you get older, you know, I remember playing in Ottawa, and we had a lot of French speakers, but also a lot of, I guess we would call it second-generation immigrants from Canada. You know, we had a Bosnian player, guys from Guinea, and you know, African nations, and it was just a real melting pot. And that's pretty much wherever you go in soccer, that's going to be the case. Here in Toronto, we've got French, Spanish, English all being spoken in the locker room, Italian. And you just really have to be open to those cultures. And it's actually one of the things that I really enjoy about the sport.
Okay, I got to ask you about Steph Curry. tell me, first of all, how often did you see the ball?
Oh, I was a designated screener and defensive player, so I didn't get many touches.
What's it like being in a court with a guy like that? I mean, we're talking a transcendent player, right?
For sure, at this point. In high school, I didn't know if he was going to be a transcendent player. I just knew that he was really, really good. And, you know, he's basically doing the same stuff in the NBA that he was doing in high school, which is crazy to think about.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's just been amazing to see. You know, I've had a feeling he could be in the NBA, but to be NBA MVP is just totally beyond my expectations.
What was he like as a kid?
He's the same as he is now. I think that's the biggest compliment that I can give him, is he hasn't changed a bit. He's supremely confident in his abilities, but he's still humble and treats everyone the right way. And I think he's a great model for any athlete or young kid growing up.
How was your basketball career? Was soccer always going to be the sport of choice for you, or was basketball an option at one point?
Yeah, I think in like junior high, I was kind of good at both, and there wasn't like a clear path. But once I got to high school, I didn't grow as much as I would need to be a good basketball player. But you know, soccer kind of took over, and I kind of found my passion there, and I realized that that's the path that I wanted to take, and playing college and whatnot. So that's what I did in high school.
Well, it certainly worked out for you. Long road, but it certainly worked out. Clint, thanks so much for doing this. A real pleasure to talk to you. We'll do it again, and stay healthy.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Take care. That's Clint Irwin, Toronto FC's goalkeeper. You can follow him on Twitter, by the way. It's a good Twitter follow, at Clint Irwin. A great story that we were talking. I was flipping through doing some reading on him, written for Sports Illustrated, the Daily Telegraph, and I meant what it, when I was talking to Cliff, I really meant that about soccer players. One of the reasons I have such an affinity for them is because they're just so often they're put in. I mean, you have to be adaptable. You know, you have to have a bit of the adventurous spirit. You have to be adaptable. You have to be open to different people and different ideas and comfortable in different environments. And you know, especially when you're not, you know, when you're not a highly touted guy, when you're not one of those guys who's kind of gets spoon fed a professional career you know, in a sport like soccer, you can go anywhere. One of our friends, Rowan Ricketts, used to be on the show. God, I don't think there's a country Rowan Ricketts hasn't played in order to keep his career going. And, you know, you reach a point where you do it because it kind of, you know, it feeds you. There's a hunger there to play, but there's also a desire to just experience different things. And I'll tell you, it was great to talk to Clint Irwin. Really enjoyable. It's going to be a lot of fun. Going to be a lot of fun having him around. And from Toronto FC's point of view, of course, we've talked about it a lot. Defense. There's no doubt that team has enough offensive skill, that it has enough firepower. But the big question is always with Toronto FC is going to be, can they keep the ball out of their own net? Can they be organized? Can they stay organized defensively? A lot of that starts with the goalkeeper. Most of it starts with the goalkeeper. I think you get the sense that Clint Irwin will probably make it work for Toronto FC. We appreciate Mike Massaro and Toronto FC for making Clint available to us at, 8:49 Pacific time as they continue preparations for their season. That is it for the Jeff Blair Show today. Don't forget tomorrow, big day, Scotiabank Hockey Day in Canada. Always a lot of fun. Ron McLean will be hosting it from Kamloops, BC. Coverage begins at noon. Oilers and Canadians at 2 p.m. on CBC and Sportsnet. Hockey Central Saturday, 6:30 p.m. on CBC and Sportsnet with Strombo, Friedman, Rudy, and Kiprios. Maple Leafs and Senators at 7 o'clock, CBC and Sportsnet. That is also available, by the way, in 4K on channel 999 if you have a 4K TV and a Rogers Next Box 4K. City will have the Penguins and the Panthers at 7 o'clock. Flames and Canucks at 10 p.m. on CBC. The Jets in Colorado to play the Avalanche. That will be at 10 p.m. on Sportsnet. And when it's all done, Hockey Central's postgame will be at 1 a.m. on CBC. Some of the guests Ron McLean will have, by the way, in the lead-up to the games from Kamloops, B.C., will be Wendell Clark, Don Cherry, Corey Hirsch, Corey Cross, Trevor Linden, Lanny McDonald, Kirk McLean, Mark Napier, Wade Redden, and Darcy Tucker. And again, that'll begin at noon. There will be NHL hockey for you tonight on Sportsnet 1, Coyotes and Ducks, Sunday for the Super Bowl. Because you don't want to be watching the 16-hour pregame show. You really don't want a bunch of ex-players telling you how amazingly complicated the game is. Watch a live sports event. Flyers and Capitals at 12 p.m. on Sportsnet 360 Sunday. Hurricanes and Canadians at 2:30 p.m. on Sportsnet Ontario. NBA basketball tonight. Celts and Cavs on Sportsnet 1. Pelicans and Cavaliers on Sunday on Sportsnet 1. Barclays Premiership, a full slate Saturday. Spurs and Watford, Swansea and Crystal Palace, Stoke and Everton. Sunday it'll be Bournemouth and Arsenal, Chelsea against Manchester United. The whole slate of Bundesliga matches this weekend. And tonight's CHL presentation, the Niagara Ice Dogs at the Kitchener Rangers. That is at 7:30 p.m. on Sportsnet Ontario. So that is it for me. We'll be back on Monday. Brunt's going to be joining us all week. Have a great weekend, everybody.